welcome to Planet Shakers. We are so excited that you've joined us. We are believing that literally through today that you will encounter the presence of God. Today I'm going to be sharing on the second place where Elijah took Elisha. It was Bethel. Bethel means the house of God, and we're going to look at the significance of the house of God in the discipling of nations and living in the fullness of God. Sit back and enjoy and let God encounter you as you encounter Him. God bless you. We're doing this whole series that we've been talking on this year called What's it called? Can't hear you. Say it with a bit of force. What's it called? At the back, that means you speak as well. Lydia, what does it say? Double portion. Everybody together. One, two, three. Now, that's good. That's good. The year of double portion, which is a year of discipleship. And because the double portion that Elisha got from Elijah didn't come from just falling out of the sky. It came because he was positioned to receive the mantle. And we talked about the different places that he began to walk over and take him to, because remember, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have YouTube or Instagram or television. And so how they would train people was to take them to significant places. And Elijah went with Elisha, Elisha went with Elijah and took them to significant places. And the first place we talked about was a place called, can anyone remember? It starts with G. Gilgal, the place of consecration. And discipleship is a place where we consecrate ourselves. It's the start of the process of discipleship. And so we're going to look at the next place that they went to. It was called Bethel or Bethel. You know, we have Bethel Music and Bethel Church. Well, they actually took that from the Bible, by the way. So it's not just a worship label. And so they took him to Bethel, and it would have been explained what had happened in this place. And we're going to look where God began to speak in this place. So we're going to go to Genesis 28, verse 10. It says, "And now Jacob went up to Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night." Everyone say all night. "Because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in the place to sleep. Then he dreamed." Everyone say dream. "And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending." So here he is, he's got his head on the stone, he's got his head on the rock. By the way, little play on this, but if you want to find rest, you've got to understand who your cornerstone is, who your security is. The place of rest is on the rock, on Jesus, on the revelation of who He is. And so many people try to find rest in other things, money, finance, which are the same, in education and in career and in relationship, but you cannot find true peace until you put your mind at ease on Him, having the revelation of who He is. "And he dreamt of angels ascending and descending from this ladder that reached up to heaven." So there was this ladder in this dream, and angels were coming down. And how many know the Bible says there are ministering angels? Some of you, you don't realize it, but angels have protected you when things were about to happen around you. You're driving down the road one day, and all of a sudden, a car came out of nowhere, and you go, "How did that miss me?" Maybe it was an angel that was protecting you. We got a guy in our church here. We had a testimony of that. Remember, he got hit by a truck, and they had it in the news, he came out with not even really a scratch on his body, no injury. They couldn't believe what had happened. And while he was being hit by this truck, he called out to God, and I reckon God sent angels to protect him. See, he saw angels coming down, descending and ascending. And the Bible says, "And behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac." What was God saying in the stream? The promise that I gave to Abraham, the promise that I gave to Isaac, is the same promise I've given to you. I'm giving you an anointing to take lands. I'm giving you an anointing to build nations. I'm giving you an anointing to release the kingdom of God through you. I'm giving you promises that I gave your father's father. Remember, I talked about how God builds. God builds through revelation, relation, and generation. What was he saying? He says, the same dream I gave to your father's father is the same dream I give to you. Huh. Same promise. And it says this, and the land which you lie, I give to you and your descendants, and also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed all the families on the earth shall be blessed. Same promise Abraham had. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and says, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and says, how awesome is this place? This is none other, listen to this, than the house of God, and that is the gate of heaven. Another version says, I'll look that up for you so that it, in the NLT, the New Living Translation, it says this, and Jacob woke from his sleep and says, surely the Lord is in this place. I wasn't even aware of it, but he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. See, we're looking about the life of Elisha and Elijah, and he's taking on this journey of discipleship for a double portion. The first place was a place of consecration. The next place was a place of Bethel, the house of God. You see, we cannot see revival unless we understand the vehicle that God has set up for revival in the earth. See, God's method for revival isn't through some ministry out there doing its own thing. God's method for revival is through his house, because his house is the vehicle that represents who he is. His house represents his family. His house represents, the Bible says, we're the bride of Christ. So we represent who he is. His house, the Bible says here, is the gateway to heaven. Notice it, it's not the way to heaven, it's the gateway to the way. You see, God, people come to know who Jesus is through you. We are the gateways that open up people's eyesights to see the way. See, so many people don't want to go through discipleship and don't want to go through the processes of being committed to the house of God, and they wonder why we're not seeing revival on the earth. Why? Because what the world are looking for are the true representation of what heaven looks like. Not perfection, but people who are saying, God, we want to show off your glory so that people can see who you are through us. The gateway to heaven is the house of God. It's the way that people look at society. You see, so many people do not want to know God because they look at a church that's dead, boring, irrelevant, and has no power. Because what they see in the church, they go, if God's like that, I don't want to have anything to do with that. They see religion, they see rules, they see this, they see that. But God says, I want to show a way through my house that literally releases heaven on earth, so people who want breakthrough, who want healing, who want joy, who want peace, get around you and they see a gateway to the way. The church is the gateway to heaven. It's the way people see. What did Jesus say when he was talking to his disciples and they were saying, God, teach us how to pray? You see, I hear people in the body of Christ talk about this. It's about the kingdom and not the church. No, you can't separate the two. The church is the vehicle for the kingdom. It's about the kingdom, but the church is the vehicle to release the kingdom on earth. See, Jesus is teaching him to pray, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So how do people see heaven on earth? They see it through you. See, the Bible says that we are citizens of heaven. Everyone say, I'm glad I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. So what does that mean? I have dual citizenship. I have heaven citizenship and I have Australian citizenship. You know, if we are the citizen of a country, we should have the same language. And the language that we have of heaven is called faith. So I'm a citizen of heaven. What does that mean? I have the rights of a citizen for me. I have a right as a citizen of heaven for me. What does that mean? That means if I'm sick, I can call out to God because I'm a citizen of heaven and I can receive healing because I have a right to that because I'm a citizen of Him. That means if I need joy, as a citizen of heaven, I have the right to receive joy. I'm a citizen of heaven, so that what is heaven like? It's full of peace. So I have a right to access peace. As a citizen of heaven, I have the right to financial blessing because I'm God's child and I'm a citizen of heaven. So I have the rights to be a citizen of heaven. But more than that, the Bible says that we're ambassadors of heaven. This is pretty cool. An ambassador of heaven. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador is sent to another country to represent a nation that it's from. So if you think about the Australian ambassador, let's say he's living in Zimbabwe. He might be living in a country that's dollar has been devalued, that there's high unemployment, there's high, inflation. This high everything, things look bad around it. But as a citizen of Australia, as an ambassador of Australia, he might live in Zimbabwe, but he doesn't live according to the economy of Zimbabwe. He lives to the economy of where he's from, Australia. So he might be in a third world country, but he's living first world. Why? Because he's an ambassador. So he has the resource of the nation that he's from at his disposal. As ambassadors of heaven, we have the resource of the kingdom we're from at our disposal. When the global financial crisis hit, all through the body of Christ, giving went down. Churches went into interesting times. And I remember saying to the Lord at that time, I said, God, we are citizens of heaven. We are ambassadors of heaven. So we actually expect that we live according to the economy of heaven. So the economy of heaven is not dictated by Wall Street. It's not dictated by any financial system. It's dictated by your kingdom. So in this global financial crisis, God gave us a word and He says, it's a year of favor. You think about that. In a year of crisis, financially, globally, God speaks to us and says, it's a year of favor. Talk about oxymoron. Talk about the opposites of what is reality. But what reality are we living in? In earthly reality or heavenly reality? So I said, Lord, I'm going to declare over our church favor. That means that we're going to increase our giving, that we're going to believe for jobs, that we're going to believe for breakthroughs, that we're going to believe for job promotions, that we're going to believe for supernatural abundance, because we are ambassadors of heaven, so we represent what you're about, not what earth is about, and so we come into agreement with it. I remember that year, at the end of the year, I said to our church, who's had a financial breakthrough? Who's had a job promotion? Who's had God bless you this year that beyond what you've ever seen? Stand to your feet. In every service, 90% of people stood to their feet. In that year, our giving went up 75%. That's called supernatural. In that year, we were able to give away more to missions, more to people, to help other people in other churches and other situations. Why? Not because Russell Evans or Planet Shakers is anything special. It's just because we understood that we are ambassadors of heaven. And so even though it might be a crisis here, it ain't a crisis there. There's no crisis in heaven. The heaven is always, always releasing blessing. And so we decided to come into agreement with heaven on earth because we're an ambassador. We're sent from one kingdom to another kingdom to bring the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of earth. And God blew us away. You see, then we're able to help in society like we've never helped before in that season. I remember a time, it was really tight. Talk about living according to the economy of earth, January for our church is the tightest financial months that we ever have. Because people go on holidays and they don't give online as they should or whatever. It seems they stop giving when they're on holidays, so our giving goes down. So we always budget for low giving in January and February. And I remember we had those bushfires which wiped out all those houses, and I was going for a jog one day, and as I was jogging, it was a time of miracles because I was jogging, just a miracle, and I go for a jog, and there's these bushfires happening all around, and I could see the smoke, and I said, Holy Spirit, it was a Monday, I said, Holy Spirit, do you want us to take a love offering for the bushfire victims? And the Holy Spirit says, no. I said, okay, cool, that's all right. At least I asked you. He said, no, I want you to give your whole tithes and offerings. I said, that's the devil. I said, God, have you read our budgets? He said, yes, I have. But I have another budget for you. So I went to our board and I said, I feel like we're to give our whole tithes and offering away. And so we did. We took $160,000. It was way over what we normally took back then. And we gave, we didn't, you know, we got a PR company that worked for us and they said, you should make an announcement what we're giving away. I said, no, this isn't about us. This is about helping our society. This is about helping people in need. This is about bringing the love of Christ. And so we worked with different organizations and we sowed. We didn't brag about it. We didn't declare it. We didn't put out a press release. We just gave. What were we doing? We were representing what heaven was like, and we decided we weren't going to live according to the economy of what we had said, but we lived to the economy of what He had said. And God, and you know what? Our giving went up, and God looked after every bill, after every need. And I'm here to say, 13 and a half years later, God's still looking after every bill, every need, every promise, everything. Why? Because we decided that we were going to live according to what God says. We're going to live according to as ambassadors. What I love about ambassadors have the military might of the country they're from at their disposal. So they have authority to call on protection and call on military might at their disposal. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not fleshly, but they're mighty. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. There's some weapons that God wants to release in your hands today. They are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Strongholds are places that are strong and have a hold. A stronghold might be an addiction. A stronghold might be depression. A stronghold might be financial poverty. A stronghold might be living in small thinking. A stronghold might be a sickness, but God has given us a weapons. And He says, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. These strongholds that try to hold society, try to hold people back, try to hold families back. And God says, I've given you a weapon to destroy the works of the enemy on the left and on the right. See, what are these weapons? One of them's called praise. It gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. A stronghold of depression must bow to the praises of God. I remember when my mom got sick. She got depressed and she got put in a mental institution for depression. As a missionary in Papua New Guinea, she had a nervous breakdown because she was sick. And I remember my mum going to prayer and nothing seemed to happen. She'd read the word, nothing seemed to happen. Then God said to her, praise me for everything. She said, God, how can I praise you for this situation? He said, praise me in all things. So I'd hear my mum in the morning get up, oh God, I praise you. I don't understand what's going on, but you're an awesome God. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. I praise you and I worship you and I glorify you. And I don't understand what's going on me, but I know that you are bigger and stronger and more powerful. And all of a sudden, the stronghold of depression begin to bow to the praises. She said, go through the day totally free of depression. Next morning, that spirit was on her again. She'd get up and say, God, I don't understand, but I understand you're a good God and you're an awesome God, and I praise you and I praise you and I praise you. Some of you have got some strongholds that the enemy's trying to put on you. He's trying to put discouragement, but I've got a remedy for discouragement. Begin to praise him. Let the high praises of God be in your mouth. He's given you weapons. She did this not for 2 days. For 2 years, every day, I praise you. When I was a teenager and I was looking like I was getting backslidden, I'd hear my mum, oh God, I praise you. I see my boy serving Jesus, I praise you. I see them being used by your glory, I praise you. I see them being touched by you, I praise you. I worship you. You know, Planet Shakers is known for its praise. All over the world, millions of people get strongholds broken off them as they praise to music that God has given us. My mum's legacy, God builds generationally, is going on. It's a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. You shift things in the fourth dimension through prayer. You begin to see. See, we live in the third dimension, but when I begin to pray in the spirit, I begin to see as God sees. I begin to call things that aren't as if they are. And I begin to pray things through, and I begin to see God shift things already in the heavenlies before they become shifted in the earthly. And prayer is a weapon to see the third dimension come in order to the fourth dimension. Forgiveness is a weapon. When people done wrong by you and you can still forgive them, that's a weapon. So the enemy cannot get a fence in your heart and hold you down to a bondage and tie you down. See, God gives you the ability to forgive. Why? Because his power is greater than anything that's offended you. His power is greater than anything that's attacked you. His power and his love and his peace is far greater. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. You're an ambassador of heaven. You have the military might at your disposal to shift atmosphere. Generosity is a weapon. Let me tell you how I live my life. What area I'm attacked in, I do the opposite. So if I'm discouraged, I find people to encourage. I'm going to do the opposite to what the enemy tries to do with me. I remember one time I lost some whole heap of cash in America. Somebody stole my wallet. You know what I did when I got back to Melbourne? Oh, I was actually Adelaide. I actually gave the biggest offering I ever gave to God, because I said, devil, you might try to steal from me here, but I'm not going to live according to what you do. I'm going to be more generous. And guess what? God opened the windows of heaven and poured out such a blessing that I could not contain it. You see, if I'm depressed, I praise more. If I'm lonely, I love more. If I have hurt, I forgive more. Why? Because I've got the weapons of warfare that aren't carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. See, the church are ambassadors of heaven. What does an ambassador live in? He lives in an embassy. What is an embassy? An embassy is considered sovereign to the nation named over it. In other words, the Australian embassy in America, when I walk into, I might have landed in America, but I walk into the Australian embassy, guess where I am? I'm in Australia. Even though I'm in America, I'm in Australia. If I walk into the Australian embassy in Africa somewhere, I'm in Australia, even though I'm in Africa. And the embassy of heaven on earth is God's church. So I've always had this prayer. God, let this be the place where people want their marriages fixed up, let them come to the embassy of heaven, your church. Let this be the place that, oh, I've got sickness in my body, I've got to go down to that Planet Shakers church. Why? Because there's so many people getting healed, and I need a new job. I'm going to go down to that Planet Shakers church because there's such a faith level that people's jobs have been provided for. I want people to be around us that begin to say, you're carrying something. Could you pray for me? I want to catch what you've caught. I want to get what you've got. I want to receive what you've got. You see, we're the embassy of heaven. Why do you think the devil has worked so hard to make the church boring, dead, and irrelevant? Because the church represents heaven. This is the house of God, the gateway to heaven. The gateway to the way. A church will never save you, but it will give you a gateway to the way for salvation. That's why we need to be disciples. That's why we need to say, hey, I want to be planted in the house of God. Because the Bible says those who are planted in the house of God will flourish. I want to be somebody who flourishes. So when I go to work on Monday, I'm the most joyful person no matter what situation I'm facing. When I go to work on Tuesday and there's problems all over the earth, I come and I give compassion and love and optimism to the future. I want to be the person who people say, hey, I've got some needs, I'm going to go to that person, because they seem not to be perfect, but they seem to believe that there's something more powerful. Bethel was a place of discipleship to show what he represented. See, Elijah said to Elisha, you can stay here. But you know, so many people just stop at, oh, it's just about the church. It's just about the, and God says, no, it's more than just about the church. It's about the kingdom. So I've got some more for you. Takes him to Jordan. I'll talk about that in the future. Takes him to Jericho. I'll talk to you about that in the future. But God first takes us to the place of consecration, Gilgal. Then he takes us to the place of discipleship, place of being sown into the house of God, being planted in the house of God, so we can reflect his glory through a vehicle he's used and designed to change the planet called the house of God. So God's revival. See, when Planet Shakers were just doing a conference, it was good. It was impacting the body. And we will continue to do that. But God spoke to us to plant a church. And I said, God, why have you told us to plant a church? He says, because I want to model something on earth for next generation that will both be contemporary and powerful. Because we've got a lot of contemporary churches that aren't powerful. We've got a lot of powerful churches that aren't contemporary. And I want to show you, I want to show the earth, and there's so many other churches like us, but I want to let there be a model that there's a church that is cool, that is contemporary, that is relevant, but also has prayer, has breakthrough, has faith, has signs, wonders, and miracles, is not flaky, but it's smart, it's got it, it's walking in the favor of God. If I can see, Jesus spoke the language and demonstrated power. And if we understand, that's what God's called us to do. Speak the language of the day, but demonstrate his glory. This is Bethel, the place of the gateway to heaven. Wow, chord change. I wasn't ready for that. That was very good. I was like, whoa, that came from nowhere. In 13 years, over 60,000 people have made commitments for Christ. Already this year, we have had over 2,000 people give their life to Jesus. Already, miracles are happening, breakthroughs are happening, freedom's happening. But here's the deal, there's more. Here's the deal, there's a greater level. Here's the deal, there's a greater breakthrough. Here's the deal, there's a greater anointing. Here's the deal, there's more. But more comes by saying, God, I want you to empower me to carry your glory. God wants to use us powerfully. The vehicle God has given us is His church. It's the gateway to heaven. It's actually where the world sees what God is like. We are ambassadors of God, so why don't you live in that? If you don't know Jesus, He can come into your life right now. You just got to invite Him in. If you do know Him, why don't you take His message to the world, because you're an ambassador of heaven. Release miracles and breakthroughs through your life. God bless you. We'll see you next week at Planet Shakers. Don't forget, connect with us on our social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, on YouTube, subscribe to that, whatever platform it is, Facebook, we'd love to connect with you. Send us an email if you'd like for prayer at our planet, at church at planetshakers.com, and let's see His kingdom be glorified on this earth. Let's see His name be lifted up. You are amazing. God bless you. Have a great week.